time to tune into the Kate Daly Show, America's newest addiction. The show starts now.
Kelsey Grammer, welcome to the program. Voted for Donald Trump. Yeah. And I just wonder whether you sort of took any hits in Hollywood for that. Did you feel that you were sort of
marginalized? I'm unaware of taking a hit for it. Now, certainly there's, passions run high. And certainly he has, been a touchstone for an extraordinarily passionate response. I don't know if it's as serious or horrible as everybody wants it to be.
I was wondering whether you thought that the sort of, many people believe the sort of fabric is being disrupted and,
Well, I think the fabric being disrupted is a good thing.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I do not think Washington was doing us any favors. For the last 50, 60 years, I think they've all been sort of just the same party, the same bunch of clowns, the same bunch of unpleasant people. And I don't think they've been helping anybody but themselves.
It's not often that you hear from a Hollywood celebrity with some power in Hollywood, Kelsey Grammer from Frasier, that was able to come out and say the things that he just said in that interview. CNN, of course, poking at him and all the news outlets, really. I thought it was actually really great to hear another point of view in Hollywood. Welcome. It's refreshing, I'll tell you. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Glad to be here. And in this hour, I'll take calls. So, of course, you can call in, and I'd be happy to hear from you. What's on your mind? There's quite a few things on my mind. Apologize for yesterday. I suddenly got strep throat. I know, it's crazy. But anyway, I was down for the count. So was my son. And I'll tell you, it hit my family hard. And I hate being away. You know why? Because there's so much to say on the headlines. There's so much to say on what's going on right now, and to correct, I think, in the truth, to say what needs to be said. And so we have the Alabama abortion law that the Senate put through at quite a majority. We have that to talk about today. We also have Melissa coming on today. We have Karen Kwiatkowski, who is going to be talking about Assange and the drugs they're giving him. She wrote a great piece for Lou Rockwell, my friend Lou Rockwell, who, by the way, she writes some outstanding pieces, but she's going to come on and talk about that. And, of course, I have Susan coming on. We're going to be talking about Alabama and really the truth also, what's not being said in the headlines. My son actually had to write a paper on this today, and it was very interesting talking to him about this because of states' rights versus what we think is a federal ruling in this country, which isn't. So we're going to get to that, too. A couple of things locally that I also want to get to. I'll get to that in just a second. But I just wanted to mention in that clip with Frasier that happened, I think, yesterday, this interview that happened. Listen to what she said in the very, very beginning. Here we go.
Kelsey Grammer, welcome to the program. Voted for Donald Trump. Yeah. And I just wonder whether you sort of took any hits in Hollywood for that.
Interesting that she'd have to ask that, isn't it? Think about that for a moment. Hollywood. And think about what we're saying here. You like a representation of government. You like somebody in government. You like what they stand for. You might not like everything they do, but you like what they're doing generally. And, of course, the question is, are you taking hits on your career for that? Isn't that amazing? Almost like, hey, march to the same tune as everybody else, because I'm going to imagine that your career is in the hole because of you standing up for another point of view. And if you really want to examine Hollywood, that's a really good place to start in how Hollywood has aligned themselves with politics, so much so that careers are ruined if you simply voice an opinion. I actually think Hollywood shouldn't be voicing opinions about politics, but that's just me. I don't really care what they have to say about politics, but I do like hearing two different points of view, and that is not something you'll hear right now. And I know you know that, and I know that. It was interesting. I got an email from a fan of the show that was really insistent and has been insistent by sending me many, many emails about basically wants me to call out Trump as Satan on the show, and I'm not going to do that. because I don't agree with that statement. I think that there are some things that he is doing that are pretty great, and I think that he stands up for our culture like nobody else will in basically Christian culture, and he's really not, I don't think, that deep of a Christian, is he? But you know what? He's standing up for certain ideals, and we haven't had that in a long time. Let's face it. It's been a while. And it's refreshing to see that. I'm pretty vocal about my criticisms for Trump on the things that he's doing in foreign policy that I absolutely do not agree with. And then I'm also supportive and will applaud when he's doing the right thing, too. And I think it's important to remain a little bit more open to the fact that they can be about both things and not just one-sided. When somebody really is insistent about me basically painting with a pretty, with a pretty specific brush on somebody and saying this is who they are, and I'm not seeing that, well, I think it would be dishonest to say that. And so for somebody to be that insistent, you know, he is the deep state, he is a monster, he is evil, he is this, he is that. Well, I look at the whole body of his work, and I'm not coming to that conclusion. So, sorry, I'm not going to agree. And I do this show very honestly. And what's funny is that a lot of guests come on, Chris Ann, Alex Newman, a lot of people that really could vocally be very critical about Trump, and they're actually the same as me. They support him on some things, and on other things, they take it apart because they know that it's a bad move, or he's listening to the wrong people, or whatever the case may be. I do think there are several factions within the deep state at war here, and I do think the one that owns the media, the one that owns Hillary, the one that owns the Bushes, the one that owns them, you've got Rockefeller in that mix, you've got the banking cartel in America in on that, they want something very different than the other factions of the deep state. You're not going to become president unless somebody's backing you. But at the same time, what are they for and what are they against? And I'm not saying that the other factions are great. I'm just saying that because they all have the same end goal. The deep state wants total control over the populace of the world. And I say that with a very straight face. That really, truly is the goal. And all you have to do is look at our history to understand that. It's pretty out there as far as it's in print. There are facts to back up that statement. But I do think there are warring factions of the deep state, too, that we have to keep in mind. And it doesn't just come from one unit. The deep state, they're too controlling and too narcissistic and too wanting to be all powerful to ever walk in one accord. That is just not how they work, I don't think. So I've had a lot of guests on that have talked about this theory that there are several factions warring. And I really do think there are. And so I think it's fair to take people, even the people I don't like. If Romney made a good move, I'd applaud that. I really would. I haven't seen any good moves come from Romney. And that's why I have such a problem with him on this show. And why I'm not afraid to speak out about the many problems I have with him is because I feel like people were very, very deceived with Romney. Romney put himself out there as somebody that Utah wanted to vote for in its very conservative state. And I think he has failed on every single account. And I think he's shown his true colors actually pretty quickly. And so as much as I would like Romney as a fellow church member or a father or a grandfather, I do not like him as a politician. I think he is very bought and sold as a politician, quite frankly. And I also will tell you he cast the lone GOP vote against Trump's judicial nominee because that nominee said something about Obama. Well, that's the story. And the fact that he would cast that vote, the establishment of the GOP, the ones that I do not favor, the establishment really, really like Romney. And there's a reason. And there's a reason that he got a lot of help becoming our senator. So I'm not in favor of him. I favor a lot of what Mike Lee does. There are some problems, too, I've seen in the last couple of years with Mike Lee in some of the things he's supported that I wouldn't support. But generally, he has still a pretty good record, right? Romney doesn't. Romney has a horrifying record. So I'm not for Romney at all. And I will voice that opinion and voice that opinion and voice that opinion because I don't think all of Utah has woken up yet to realize. I think there are a lot of eyes have been opened. There's a lot of disappointed voters out there, even those that show up to his town hall where he specifically will not answer questions and leaves after, what, about five questions? So so his true colors have shown for a long time. He's been a huge disappointment for people that thought he would be the pillar of truth back clear when he was vying for the presidency. But no, he's a total joke, and he's becoming one in Utah because a lot of people are opening their eyes. We just need the rest of the state to open their eyes, too. And when it comes to Trump, I do want to say this. I will always applaud the things that he supports that I support, too. Whether or not he can get the outcome, the desired outcome, is a whole other story because there's other people in the mix that have to be relied upon to deliver that outcome. Otherwise, he'd be a king. So when he is in vocal support of something that I'm in support of, I'll take it. We had a president that was lighting up the White House in a rainbow flag, sending money over to Iran, and basically supporting the Muslim Brotherhood. I think we have a president that actually loves our country. But I do think that he is listening to a lot of people that he has on staff for some reason. He collected these people like Bolton around him that are horrifying to me. Tucker Carlson was out there talking about how horrifying Bolton was or is right now, because Bolton's Christmas would be the idea of going to war with Iran, and that should be stopped. So, yes, the people are horrifying. Whether or not, and this is the biggest statement I could ever make about Trump, whether or not you think he is controlled opposition from the deep state, or whether or not you think that he's a guy that didn't have to become president but decided to put himself up for this kind of abuse by the media for whatever reason, you're probably like me. You agree with a lot of what he's doing or what he stands for, what he's trying to say, and what he can do maybe in the smallest of terms on based on his role in America as president. And like me, you probably look at some of the things he doesn't, that he's not doing, and some of the things that you cringe at. And you go, oh, gosh, that was a bad move. And it's okay to be that way. It's okay to look at both. Please stay open-minded and look at both. That's what I say with anybody. I would love it if Romney surprised me and actually stood for something other than the deep state. But that's not going to happen. And when it does, I'll gladly applaud. But I'm not going to sit here and be manipulated into saying that Trump is basically, you know, Satan reincarnated, because it's not true. He isn't. I don't think he is. I've never gotten that feeling before. And I do a lot of research. But I will condemn the things that I feel like we need to, too. And I know you will, too. So I always think it's good to kind of stay level and grounded and not be on a witch hunt, and also not like Kelsey said, Kelsey Grammer, he stated that, whether or not it's true or not, tensions are high when speaking about Donald Trump. And why is that? Well, the media has done a great number on the minds of Americans, haven't they? When they want you to hate somebody, man, they will make you hate somebody and not even ever look from a balanced point of view. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Tonight by the firelight, it reminds me I already have more than I should. At the end of the day, Lord, I pray I have a life that's good. Two arms around me, heaven to ground me, and family that always calls me home. Four wheels to get there, love to share, and a sweet, sweet, sweet song.
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show.
At the end of
love
the
this song.
Day, Lord, I pray.
A life that's good. Charles Esten. Welcome back to the show. Local Utah Hour. You can call up 888-673-1450. A lot to talk about. In fact, White House just released, we were just talking about Trump, just released their new immigration plan, sweeping immigration plan, now based on the merit-based admissions program, which means that before, about 66% of all immigrants were being let through and vetted and let through based on family connections, and now it'll flip flop, and that number will be based on work qualifications, what they can do, and so very interesting sweeping changes done by the White House. And how you feel about that? Well, isn't that up for grabs? We'll talk about that a little bit more in the latter part of the show as well. But it's a huge. It would provide some big sweeping changes to immigration, that's for sure. I don't think any of you out there are against immigration. I think we're all for immigration as far as always being able to vet people that come into our country. We just don't want illegals coming in. And I don't want to be accused of being not empathetic, because I don't want to be around people that break the law to come in our country. But it would shift. The plan would shift. And I'm sorry, not 66, 57%. 66% are now right now admitted based on family connections, but under the new plan, it would basically flip that. Yeah, so only 12% of immigrants are admitted based on employment and skills. So kind of interesting new change there. Hi, caller, welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi there. Hi there.
I just had to call up. I heard your last segment,
yeah.
And I gotta praise you again. I'm sorry.
Well, no. Hey, I'll take
you
it.
You are the only radio station, and I listen to a lot of alternative internet radio. That's all I do all day. I'm bored.
I love it.
You're the only one that does not go jump on the Trump bandwagon. You question and you look at things with a different perspective. Every time I call another station or make a comment, even ask people, you know, tell me one thing you don't like about Trump. They can't give me an answer.
Really? I can't imagine being that biased.
DeVos is the first one that comes to my mind.
Right.
There's so much, you know, nothing's been done about our education system. Nothing.
Right. You're right.
You know, and then I bring up the trade agreement between Mexico and the United States. It's horrible.
It is. It is. It's
and
horrible.
Then when I mentioned that I am part of the John Birch Society, I get crickets.
I know.
They're like scared. And I didn't realize this, you know. And then I turned around. We have a guest speaker, William Jasper, is coming to our meeting.
I've had him on the show. Yeah, he's fantastic.
I'm sure you did, you know. And, it's just like, he's our guest speaker. He's going to be there tomorrow night, and actually in New Jersey, of all places, right?
Right.
At our meeting, and I can't wait. We're going to probably be a couple hundred people are going to flow up for this one.
I think it's
because everyone reads The New American. Everybody, single radio. I tell every radio station, why don't you read The New American?
Well, they have great reporting. That's the thing. When you look at The New American, they'll show both sides. They'll have great reporting that outlines very well the truth instead of a bias built in. There's really, you won't find a lot of bias there. And so I have a lot of guests like Alex Newman that come on the show that report for The New American because of the non-biased reporting, which I love. Yeah.
Right. And one of our our second leader, this one guy we have actually used to work in the radio business in your town.
Oh, okay.
Years ago, many years ago. His last name is Giordano.
Okay.
But I never even asked him what he did in radio, but, he knows St. George real well.
Wow.
And it's just very ironic how there's a lot of ties between your state, your talk radio station, and everything that you say is everything we say.
I'm so glad to hear that.
And I get the door shut on me all the time.
Yeah.
People I've been listening to for years and I trust. Mm-hmm. When I just criticize a little bit, it's like I get crickets.
Yeah, and I can imagine.
They don't say nothing negative, but they don't say anything good.
Well, it's really a weird place right now because we're seeing the mass media attack all the time. And we know, and I'll point out things that are said that are totally off the mark and they're totally biased. And so then people go, well, you're promoting Trump and you're not looking at the other side. And I'm saying, no, I'm just calling out the bias in the media because clearly they have a huge engine against him. And we need to call that out because they're trying to say a lot of things that aren't true. Yet on the other hand, when you look at his foreign policy, it isn't good. And so you have to call that out. Otherwise, we're not being honest. So it's both sides. He's helping us culturally, especially Christians. Yet on the other side, we're promoting more and more war. And that's not okay either. Now, he has done some things that we thought were promoting war that did not end up in war. Like, I'm actually surprised we haven't taken out Syria, which we had no business doing. Now, if you look at the end results of that, Syria is still standing to a certain extent. So sometimes I have to give some credit to maybe there is something different going on behind the scenes only based on that. But at the same time, we have to call it out. We just have to.
I call it the roller coaster effect.
Yeah.
You're all happy about something that happens.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden you go back down the hill again. And it's like, why in the world did that just happen?
I agree.
You know, it is. It's up. I've never been so confused with
it
the world,
confusing.
As they say.
It
but
is
with your radio station and your digging and me reading and me looking.
Yes.
And,
individual
to put it
research.
It's just a huge puzzle.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you. It makes
thank
my
you,
day.
Believe me. And every one of my members, I praise your radio station. I said, call her. Listen
so
to her
nice.
Station. It's the best on the internet, period.
That is the sweetest thing ever. Thank you for that.
And we're not related. Remember
and we're not
that.
Related.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Checks in the mail. Thank you so much. I love that. Oh, by the way, did I mention Roger Stone tomorrow on the show? Yeah, Roger Stone, last hour. Anyway, he'll be a lot of fun to have on. Thank you for that call. I really do appreciate it. I get a lot of hits and I get told I have to, you know, you should be saying this. If you were honest, you'd be saying this. Well, I just, it's so hard. It's so hard because I really am. I'm doing this show very honestly in what I think and feel, and that's all I can do. And so I really appreciate that caller. Thank you, Steve from New Jersey. Really and truly, like the equality bill here in Utah, the LDS Church, which is my church, actually, came out and was not in favor of the Equality Act, and I'm glad. You know, it's very interesting because the headline was this: Latter-day Saint leaders call for fairness for all while opposing the Equality Act here. Just because it says Equality Act doesn't mean it's equal. Wow, what a light bulb, huh? Don't you love these writers that write stuff like that? In fact, usually the bill is never what it actually is based on the title. So that's a lie. The Equality Act isn't equal. And why do I say that? LeVar Christensen explained this very beautifully. He said, there's no such thing as an anti-discrimination law. The minute you protect one group over another, give them different privileges than another group, you automatically discriminate against anyone not in the group you're giving special privileges to or protecting. He's right on the money. This should be called the Unequal Act, because the Unequal Act means unequal, however you want to say it. It means that somebody's rights are preferred over your own. We already have equal rights. We already have equal rights, and I can't say that enough. And what's frustrating about this, and I know you're feeling this too, they were absolutely right to say that they're going to oppose this because it does favor LGBTQ. It does not give protections it gives protections to LGBTQ over the rights of everyone else. That is an unequal act. So they were absolutely right. They were absolutely right. And they wrote, the Equality Act now before Congress is not balanced and does not meet the standard of fairness for all. They were absolutely correct, the LDS Church, in saying this. The church calls upon members of Congress to pass legislation that vigorously protects religious freedom while also protecting basic civil rights for LGBT persons. Now, what I have to say about that statement is the fact that we already have this. You don't need an act. You don't need anything else like this. We already have it. Everyone is already equal. The one thing I hate is when people go, well, they're oppressed. I'm not seeing a whole lot of oppression, sorry. I'm seeing oppression for Christians. I'm not seeing a whole lot of oppression for LGBTQ. While I don't mind if somebody out there is gay, I really don't. I know if you're listening to this show and you want to hate me because I'm not okay with the Equality Act, that's okay. But I'll say it again. If you're gay and you make that decision, that's your life. More power to you. Make your own decision. That's why I love living in America. But then, the minute you get political and you try to weigh public emotions, to get them to react, to get them to buy into the suppression so that you get more rights than everyone else, I have to call you out on that. Sorry. The political nature of LGBTQ is what I do not agree with and do not like, and I think it's wrong. If you want to be gay, be gay. Be gay in the privacy of your own home. Don't shove it in my face. And I could care less. I really could care less. Quite honestly, I don't care. And I think most people out there, honestly, don't care if you're gay. And we're not out to hurt your feelings. And we're not out to discriminate against you. Most people will bend over backwards to be kind. But the minute you get political and try to reap the benefit of more rights than the rest of us, now you're going to have a lot of people with a lot of problems over this. So check yourself. Are you getting to the point where you think you deserve more now? Because that's what I'm seeing. The tipping point has been reached, and now you want more. And I'm not okay with that. Sorry. I'm okay with fairness for all. And not really even fairness. It's just equality under the law. That's the only thing the Constitution calls for, and there's a reason for it, is equality under the law. Anything else when it comes to equality, and you want to start dissecting employment and everything else on top of that, now you have a reason for somebody to have perceived threat against themselves, in which they can now use the law to go after you to give themselves more rights than you have. That's wrong. This is just so easy, isn't it? This is so simple. So anyway, I just wanted to comment on that. I also wanted to mention this. I'm going to be doing a special podcast series that'll be available only on podcast on the Kate Daly Show website. And it'll break up into segments, you know, the truth about certain things in history. And we'll keep it to kind of a shorter broadcast where I'll be kind of going through the story of the EPA, how and why it was created, the real story behind the Bay of Pigs, so there's a snapshot into history on what the truth is and not the bias of the history books. How do you feel about that? Would you like to see that? Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. No, no. And feeling good was easy love when he sang the blues. You know, feeling good was good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby, yeah.
Love it. Kate Daly Show at your service. I'm Kate Daly, your host, and glad to be here. Make sure you get tickets just in a couple of days here. It's coming up on the 18th. It is the gala. It is the gala for the Doctors Volunteer Clinic. Alex Boyer will be singing. Remember, he was a contestant on America's Got Talent, and he's a great voice. He's actually living in Utah, so kind of cool. Anyway, you can go to doctors with an S, volunteerclinic.org. Three words, doctorsvolunteerclinic.org. And you can go get tickets for that. They're about $150 a person. They help the volunteer clinic all year. And that's a clinic that has volunteer doctors and nurses that volunteer a segment of their time to go and to help people. I actually really love the business model that they do because it truly is a community of those people that can help, that are willing to help. And I think that's fantastic. They also have mental health services and dentistry and all kinds of things. That's really how it should be done. I really do think. I think it's amazing. The Spirit of Hope Gala, greatest gala on earth. It's a black tie event, dinner, auction, carnival games, everything. ABC, Auto Body Central. Make sure you get over there. They do fantastic work. If you're in an accident, they're the only place I'd take my car. And they do great body work. So I've used them myself. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to them on the radio, talking about them. Make sure that you go to Auto Body Central in Washington. Auto Body Central. They are so good. They're honest and family-oriented, and they do everything to perfection. So isn't that exactly what you want? That and low cost? I mean, that's amazing. All right, so a couple of things. The Equality Act. I'm glad that that the LDS Church came out and opposed it. They should have. I'm glad to see that, because I'll tell you, it's a mess. And there's going to be a lot of biased headlines, you know, Church opposes Equality Act. Well, it's not an Equality Act. It makes everything unequal. Equality before the law is really the only way it should go. Roger Stone tomorrow. We also have a guest today, whistleblowing on the drugs Assange is being given in custody. Roger Stone tomorrow. And then also on Friday, we have a guest that is actually going to be talking about the Chinese tariffs and also the imprisonment of 3 million individuals in China that the world doesn't seem to be talking about right now. So we're going to be that on Friday, too. Thomas Dykes joins me on Friday as well. He hasn't been on the show for a while, and he's coming back for a couple of hours on the show. So that'll be a lot of fun, too. Ben McClintock also joins me from Defending Utah on Friday as well. So, man, a lot going on this week. I also let me go here. I also wanted to mention this. There are going to be cities, and it wouldn't surprise me if our city tried to jump on this bandwagon, because our city seems very liberal for some reason, and it's very strange to me, because you'd think we'd be the reddest part of a red state, but that's just not so true anymore. For some reason, the people in our city councils here in this lower part of Utah seem to just really like liberal policies. So I'm going to bet you they're going to jump on the banning of plastic bags like California has done. Murray up in northern Utah has become the third Utah city. Will they become the third Utah city to ban plastic bags? So the debate is heating up, and it's heating up on false notions. And so this is what I want to mention. This Democrat up in Salt Lake, she's been trying to get this through for a very long time and jump on this little bandwagon that California did that everybody's so upset about in California. When I went on vacation to California, I didn't realize that they had actually done this. So I went to the grocery store and they started charging me 30 cents a bag when I was checking out of the grocery store to bring groceries back to the place we were renting. And it really is kind of surprising, because you think, how can they get away with this? And what is it actually doing? So let me tell you, let me just fill you in real quick, because you're going to see a lot more about this. And you're going to see cities, which I wouldn't surprise me at all if our little quote unquote conservative city actually fell for this, just like they do every liberal policy that comes our way. They've been a huge disappointment. I'm really disappointed in the city councils here. I think that they do kind of a horrific job in promoting the liberal kind of like it's, I feel like we're kind of becoming a mini Salt Lake down here. But anyway, when Los Angeles was talking about banning plastic bags, there were employees from a business that manufactured plastic bags spoke in person to the city council and begging them not to ban their products. That wasn't the only reason. It wasn't just about job security. It was about the fact that there wasn't any factual information going around about plastic bags, and the city council enacted a ban anyway and put the company out of business. So people lost their jobs. But it's not just plastic bags, straws, and everything else that seem to kind of jump on that same bandwagon, right? Forks, spoons, knives, styrofoam cups. And it usually comes from people saying, I was walking down the river and all I saw was plastic bags, and oh my gosh, we're a nightmare mess and we're ruining everything. The problem is that plastic shopping bags made in the United States are made from natural gas, okay, not oil. And America has at least another century of natural gas right under our feet. And so plastic grocery bags require 70% less energy to manufacture than paper bags. In fact, it takes more raw materials and fossil fuel energy to grow and harvest trees, right? Make pulp and turn it into paper bags and plastic bags. So their argument falls short. Manufacturing plastic bags also consumes less than 4% of the water needed to make paper bags. So there's a lot that has to do with the fact that when they went after plastic bags and said that paper were okay, That really didn't tell the whole tale, did it? It really didn't say what it needed to say. There was a great piece on FEE, FEE.org, which is a great website for discourse and conversation, that actually mentions Frédéric Bastiat, which I love because Bastiat is just king of the world to me, as far as you have to read his book, The Law. If you haven't, then you're really missing out and probably won't get half of what's said on the show. In January, the British government announced, and this was clear back, this was a year ago, announced its intention to extend their plastic bag tax to all shops. They figured if they punished everybody, that'd be a good idea to get them not to use plastic bags. And they wanted to impose a charge on a single-use plastic bag. But the problem was that there was a section in the report. Now, get this. It called global warming potential. Potential. Did you grab that? Yeah, because they can never say it's here. Have you ever noticed that? So global warming potential. And the agency assessed this environmental impact according to these things that were written, the acidification and on the oceans and freshwater bodies and human toxicity and yada, yada, yada. All these words you continuously hear from these groups and the impact categories on climate change. Potential, not even here. Potential has been potential for 50 years, right? It's called the lie. Anyway, the researchers then looked at a number of times a bag would need to be reused in order to have the same environmental impact as the conventional high-density polyethylene bag that people were used to. And they said in round numbers, paper bag had to be used 4 times, an LDPE bag 5 times, a non-woven bag 14 times, and a cotton bag 173 times. So somebody that's real attentive would now probably ask the very correct question, deductive reasoning, right? So what are the reuse levels that we experience in practice? Or do people's behavior reflect the environmental impact of shopping bags accordingly? Well, the report used 2 Australian studies that state that the following life expectancy for the carrier bags mentioned earlier, paper bags, craft paper were found to be single use, LDPE between 10 and 12 times, and it went on and on and on. A cotton bag had 52 trips on average. So what happened was they basically got to the end of this and they said, look, the intentions are the only thing that matters here. The results never mattered to anyone that was trying to pass a law like this because the results never backed up anything that they did. It didn't really curb anything. It didn't cause anything to happen other than it was a nice intention that they cared for the earth and tried or wanted to pass something like this, but they had no right to. And so intentions seem to be the only thing that matter to public policymakers. Why? Because they're great for getting a vote. Because if you can just voice your intention, then you get a vote and then everybody's happy and you think something actually happened for the good. But it didn't. There were no measures on environmental impact that came back that said that doing this in banning plastic bags did anything. And really, the one important message that really emerges from this is Bastiat's that which is seen and that which is not seen. It caused people jobs. It had an immediate effect on things like that. The makers of the bags, but it didn't do the intended intention. And that was, we want to do something for our environment, said all the environmentals. And so that's the problem, isn't it? And that's why I wanted to mention this. This came from Bill Wirtz, who wrote this about a year and a half ago. But he said, you know, let's pretend for a minute that we've comprehensively informed a politician sitting in his parliamentary environment committee what the studies actually find. His response would be one that we will have to educate the population and ban other bags on the long term as well. Well, there's no way you can win. The intentions are all that matters. So looking at the actual results of these things, just like this Democrat, Jana, up in Salt Lake, seems to have fixated on as the intention of the plastic bag because it sounds nice and it looks nice and it looks like she's a diehard progressive liberal, which she is. And a lot of conservatives buy into these same notions because they go, oh, well, yeah, that must be true. There must be something happening because of the plastic bags. there really wasn't anything they could come up with in research that actually showed it did anything except charge you more and penalize you, the citizen. So citizens in Murray all, you know, showed up to say this very thing. They said, you're penalizing us for something, you're taxing us for something, and you can't even show the results. Well, that doesn't seem to matter. It doesn't seem to matter to city council people. What they want to know is, will this look good on my resume, and is my intention good? Because the intention is the only thing that matters, not the facts or the truth. So I am hoping, and this is hopefully a warning to these city council members here in my own city, that we not become one of these ridiculous cities that tries to pass laws on intention. That says, well, we intend to do something great, even though we don't even know what that is, but it looks good. Let's just hope that's not us. Let's just hope that we don't fall for this, this same junk that these other cities are falling for, because they couldn't get it passed through the legislature, and now they're going city to city to pass it. And that is charging you for the plastic bags. And all it does is cost you more money. All it does is cost you more money. And the other argument of it being better to have a plastic bag actually uses up more energy, uses up more. So their whole argument falls apart, their whole entire argument. So I just wanted to say this as such a great example of legislating through intention. And Bill made a great point on this, in that if we don't start watching for intention, in balance of, or even in contradiction to actual results, there's no way to stop these people, because people will just agree that there must be something we're doing in that that's right, right? Sensible, you'll hear the word sensible, and you'll hear the word, it's actually what they were saying in this article, was that banning plastic bags isn't just bad economics and has no truth to it. It's bad for the environment. So their whole argument, the entire argument, falls apart. And doesn't that happen a lot? It's pretty amazing, actually. Please don't fall for this junk. And I know you won't. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know I am. And so that's what makes this even more important to say. By the way, Idaho, I just wanted to mention, maybe we'll talk about it a little more tomorrow, but Idaho made a really pretty good move. Idaho repealed its entire regulatory code. So they just initiated a regulatory reset where the government eliminates all regulations and then brings back the ones it decides to. And on that notion, I just want to say, I hope that is good, because the idea of that is good. Let's hope the rest of that works out to the people's advantage in Idaho, meaning that, yes, I love to see moves like this. I also want to see the ones brought back actually be good for the people, freeing for the people. They have 8,200 pages of regulations, of state rules, 736 chapters of state rules that will expire. Well, good, good, and good. Clap, clap, clap is all I have to say. 8,200 pages of regulations against the people of Idaho that are about to be repealed. That's pretty darn cool. Will Utah ever say that, or do we have too many bought and sold here? Well, there's a question that begs asking, doesn't it? All right. But you know what? I applaud Idaho in making this first step. Let's hope the next of those steps, end up being good too. And I'm going to hope for that. And I think this is great news, by the way. They expired July 1st. Let's see which ones they bring back. Let's hope it's really streamlined and pared down. Let's just hope. I love to see stuff like this. That gives me hope. Be right back with Melissa on the Kate Daly Show. And then, of course, we have a great author coming on who wrote a great piece about Assange. And then, of course, Susan will be talking about abortion as well, what Alabama did, which is great. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Hi, this is Kate Daly, and I love my sponsors.